and rejoice in it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We have meditated, perhaps more than ever before, on the bitter passion of our blessed Lord this Lent. And so many of you have images now imprinted in your mind, your heart, your imagination, so that when you do pray the sorrowful mysteries, you have some idea of what our Lord suffered. And all of this is thanks to the work of one traditional Catholic and his film. We are proud of him and grateful for what he has done. This Lent, we have remembered that the knowledge of the passion of our Savior is not confined to a movie theater or a picture of how it may have been long ago, but is actually given to us every time we assist at Mass, that the Mass represents Christ's death on this altar, Calvary, except in an unbloody fashion. And now our Lord, who died in such pain and agony for us, now he is risen from the dead, now to die no more. But whoever could make a film of his resurrection? No one saw it in that hour known only to God before the dawn when he rose. The soldiers were frightened by the earthquake and they fled. The holy women were frightened by the angels. And that's all they saw. But our Lord left us, though. Our merciful Lord has left us moderns, with all of our technology, because it almost seems that people would require it. He has left us a film of his resurrection. He has. It is to be seen in one of the most precious Catholic relics, the Holy Shroud of Turin. The more scientists study it, the more fascinated they are with it. For the shroud shows a man not lying down flat. You can tell that, for example, by the way the hair lies in his shoulders. But as it were, upright, but not standing on his feet. And the image of the shroud is not in any way smeared as it would have been if human hands had taken it off of our Lord and folded it up. And how did that image get there? The best they can say, these scientists and doctors, is that there was a great burst of energy in printing our Lord's image there on the linen cloth in which he had been buried. It would be very hard for any man to make a film of the resurrection, because a man can die, but only a God can rise from the dead. But we believe it. We, all of us who are in church today, believe it so as to know it to be true, that he rose from the dead this day. We believe it. And we feel in our hearts a holy joy this Easter. Here we are in this lovely church, surrounded by believers, with the festive music and all the panoply of the church's ancient ceremonies and the flowers and the lights. And it is easy for us to be joyful today, to see his victory as something complete and full. But it was not so yesterday. Our Lent seemed so incomplete. What possible victory could be found there? What would we have to celebrate? What indeed to show for these past 6 weeks? Oh, we began them with some resolutions around Ash Wednesday. We had a good intention or two. And some of you may have done some praying, and some of you may have practiced some penance, but it passed so quickly, and we got involved with other things. And now it is Easter, and we look at the state of our souls, and sometimes we wonder if we are not going backward rather than forward in our spiritual lives. A little bit like dedicating a brand new church at Christmas and then coming back to the old one for Easter, all bereft of pews and pulpit and the rest of it. Or a bit like Mary Magdalene, not knowing what else to do on the first day of the week, she goes back to the tomb. If you have ever felt that way, I want you to take comfort this Easter Sunday in the first Good Friday. Our Lord was condemned by the same crowd that had hailed him as King and Messiah and sung Hosanna to the Son of God just 5 days before. Of the 12, his closest, his apostles, who had followed him, one committed suicide. Another denied he even knew the man. And all of the rest, they fled into the night. Our Savior said before his passion, "And I, if I am lifted up, I will draw all men to myself." And there he is lifted high upon the tree of the cross now for 3 hours. And so far, he has converted only one man, and him a thief. And yet, before he dies, our Lord can pull himself up on his nails and cry, "Consummatum est." It is accomplished, finished. It is brought to perfection. For our Lord died in dishonor and agony without any shred of respect, but he died in perfect obedience to his Father's will. And when he died, he put to death all of your sin, all of it, including your cold and lackluster Lents, including your promises, hardly begun, much less fulfilled. Our Lord took all of it, and he nailed it to the cross. And this he did yesterday. And today, it is easy for us, if we believe, to rejoice. But what if tomorrow? How will we ever hold on to our Easter joy, to some semblance of peace of heart? We must be realistic. As I speak, the candles are burning down, the lilies are beginning to fade on the altar. Before this day or this week is out, your minds will seem like battlefields of temptation, of anxiety, but some feeling, that's all it is, some emotion, some suggestion from the devil needn't rob you of your Easter peace. Today, with St. Paul, we say, we have been raised in Christ. Therefore, tomorrow, we can face the battle and we can overcome. Some of that same divine energy which imprinted our Lord's adorable image upon the Shroud of Turin has imprinted his face on your soul when you were baptized, and again for good measure when you were confirmed. Therefore, you can set your face to the fight. So say, I don't know, this afternoon some relative at the party makes a cutting remark to you, slicing more than the ham in the process. Or tomorrow at work, a co-worker has got something to say. What will you do then? It's easy to be the old you, isn't it? To head back to the tomb, deflated, angry, defensive. But if you will remember that Jesus doesn't leave you behind in the sepulcher, if you will remember that he raises you up with him and fill your mind and your heart with those thoughts of God and his love and his new life for you, for that other person as well, well then there's no room left for resentment or revenge. How can you do that? My dear faithful, I know of no better way than just to pray one Hail Mary. Why? Because she brought our Lord into the world. And she will continue to bring our Lord into your world every day of your life. Or say this week, when you start to get busy again. You might say, I'm busy already today with all the entertaining I have to do. And you feel that the demands on your time are overwhelming. Still, you must stop and make time for prayer. If only in the quiet hours of the morning, the resurrection time, you could lift up your eyes to heaven, say for 10 or 15 minutes, to contemplate heaven rather than earth, why then you'd be able to keep this life in perspective. And who knows, you may even get quite a bit more done as well. The great secret of the saints, the very essence of Catholic spirituality, is the crucifix. Look, we've put one up over our little temporary rood screen this Easter, lest ever we should forget. Non-Catholics might wonder that we don't put the crucifix away on Easter Sunday, but it stays out all year round, because the cross is Christ's perfect answer to an imperfect life, mine. Because the cross is my path to resurrection. I'm two pages behind our Lord. I'm still at Good Friday. I haven't gotten to Easter Sunday yet. Never mind. The only way we know is the cross. What difference do your imperfections of yesterday make? Look, they're nailed there. And the possible problems that tomorrow may give you? Today, again today, on this day of days, you are here. And you can draw near to the altar. And here our Lord dies again mystically in this sacrifice of the Mass. And you draw near to his cross. And it matches your Good Friday. But it sets your feet on the way towards resurrection. I see my Savior has died for me and risen again. And so shall I. In him. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Along with our Easter greetings comes a holy card the ushers will be passing out to you. Put it in your prayer book. It is the system of one of the saints, St. Francis de Sales, for following the Mass by meditating on the Passion of our Lord. This way you will never forget this tremendous spiritual reality of what our Mass is.